All right, we start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Chet Amud Bet. There the Mishnah says, "Hamachemur mechart the siach." Someone sells a chemur, sells the siach, sells its child along with it, right? The young donkey along with it. Mechart a parah. On the other hand, if one sells a cow, lo mechart bina, does not include its child along with it. Mechart ashpa, you sell a dump or something here that seems like a compost or an area where they piled up the dung. Then mechart zvela, then you also sell along with it the zevel, the dung that's existent there. Mechart bor, mechart memea, sell the boar, you also include the water along with it. Mechar kveret, mechar dvorim. You sell the beehive, the bees come along with it. Then mechar shovach, mechar yonim. Someone sells a dove coat, the doves come along with it. So all of these items, the item that fills them in, we consider to be nitbatel. Right? They're so chashuv, what you're selling, that the item that is in there, the metaltel item, goes along with them because it's batel. And the Mishnah, the way the Rashi performs it, it doesn't even have to do the reverse. Generally, all the other Mishnayot, the Mishnah says, well, if you don't do this, it doesn't come along. Here, the Mishnah didn't have to say the reverse because it's so obvious that if you sell the water, you don't necessarily sell the boar, you sell the doves, it doesn't mean that you sell the dove coat. But if you sell the fixed item, then the other item is included. Echidami. What's the case here? Idam alehi uvna. If he says, I'm selling you it and its child, then afilu para uvna nami. Then why shouldn't you get the calf along with the cow? Idlo amalehi uvna. If he didn't say explicitly that I'm selling her and her son, afilu chamar nami lo. Why should you get the siach along with the chamar? So he says, I'm giving you a nursing, right, donkey, or a nursing cow. Why did I tell you it was a nursing cow? Because it's a milk cow, basically. It's a cow for milk. By a chamor, why would you care that it's a milking donkey? A milking donkey has no benefit to you because it's chalav tamei, or chalav, right? And if it's chalav tamei, then you can't drink it anyway. So the only purpose of having a nursing mother is that you would give the child along with it. That extraneous lashon comes to teach you that you sold the child along with it. But my korele siach. Why is the child of a donkey called a siach? Shemaleich achar sicha na'eh. Because it's willing to follow your instructions. With a person just tells it what to do, it follows. As they age, then they become more stubborn and fixed in their ways, and therefore you'll need a darben, you'll need to some sort of prod or whip to move it in the right direction. But when they're younger, they're more pliable and acquiescent to what their instructions. So now that we said about Siach Na'eh, they're going to have a quick agarita about it. My dichtiv, this is by the battle with Sichon. Afterwards, the Torah writes, Alken Yomru HaMoshlim, right, there's a homashal there. It's interesting to note the Rashbam here who says, the Rashbam was the ultimate Pashtan, right, in his introduction both to Sefer Breshit and later on in, I think it's Parshat, Vayeshev, or yeah, Vayeshev in the beginning there, where he talks about his shita of Perusha la Torah, he says, I'm doing Peshtei Akra. He says, most of the Rishonim did everything like the Chachamim, they followed the Chachamim. And over there he says that the Chachamim, the reason that the Rishonim and the Chachamim are darshaning out of the Yipsukim is usually because there's some sort of Yutur Lashon. There's some sort of extra Lashon or unnecessary Lashon, and from that, it's what they get their Drasha. But it doesn't undermine that the fact that there's a Peshtei Akra. So the Rashbam himself over here writes about this whole drasha. He says, Pashtei Dekra is talking about the fact that Sichon fought the Melech Moab Rishon, and he won the battle. Because he won the battle, therefore he took property from Moab, because he took property from Moab, and Israel, when they conquered Sichon, were able to take that property. He was Mitaher, that property for them. But he says that, then the Rashbam says afterwards, he says, but Miu Pasha Yitirahi, says it's an extraneous parsha. So he says that the mashal is like from Bilam and his friends who make up the Mishalim there. He says, but it's unnecessary. Why? Because if it's to teach us about Amon Moab or Nitaher by Sichon, it says already, the parsha already told you, V'hu nilcham b'melech Moab Arishon, meaning that the narrative already told you the information that's found inside of the mashal. And he writes, Miu parsha yeterahi. That's how he says, ah, it's an extra parsha. So it doesn't need to be written. And since it doesn't need to be written, then it's drasha k'tav v'moshe Rabbeinu. It must be for the drasha. It's almost it's interesting, the Rashbam describing almost the shita, that really the Pashtei Dekra is this. But, you want the drasha chachamim here, it's unnecessary, therefore this is the drashat chachamim. So, my dichtiv, where is it written? Al ken yomru ha-moshlim. What's a moshlim? We're not the word moshlim from those that make parables, but rather moshel, the one who rules over. Right? It's a moshlim, elo moshlim bi yitzram. Those who dictate or control their yitzer. They'll go and make a calculation. Have said mitzvah keneged tzchara, right? The loss or the monetary expenditure that you have to do in order to do a mitzvah versus a tzchara latid avo. Tzchara veira, veira again, the benefit of doing such an avera or the monetary gain versus have said that, the loss latid avo, whether it's worth it or not. Tibanevi tikonein, imatasekein, tibanevi olam hazeh, vitikonein olam haba. You will build in this world, plus you will be established well in olam haba. If he makes himself like this young chamor, right, that goes after nice instructions, then what's going to be? Meaning that if he's captured by the Yetzirah, he falls to every ploy or temptation, then there will be a fire that comes out of those that thought to those that didn't think. Meaning, the Rashbam here quotes the Gemara that we saw by Rabbi Baruch Hanna about each tindavo, each tzaddik has a chuppah, and the ones with bigger chuppot or bigger sukkot are nisraf, those that have smaller chuppot. Same thing here. So those that made the cheshbon, right, will end up consuming or burning, singeing those that didn't make the cheshbon. Ve'alava, and a flame, mikriyat sikhon, mikriyat tzaddikim, shenikras sikhin, from the place of the tzaddikim, which are called sikhim, right, they're called trees. That's siach is a right in this week's parsha tachad achaz sichim, right, that she was chagar throws her under one of the sichim, which is a bush or a tree. Achla ar moab zeh malech achar yitzro ki ayir zeh shemalech achar sichaneh. It's a person again who follows the easy instructions or easy temptations. Balei bamot arnon elu gasei aruach. From Bamot, the highs. Those are people who walk around haughtily. Someone who acts in a haughty manner, walks around with such attitude, will end up in Geinom. Vaniram. Now, Niram really in the Sukkim means the sovereignty. But here, where it says, I'm a Rasha, Ein Ram. There is no one above me. There is no one who is sovereign over me. Avad Cheshbon. Avad Cheshbon is that Cheshbon loss. Here is Avad Cheshbono Shalolam. He miscalculated, meaning that he loses out on what should be right and wrong. Ad Divon, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, M'tein HaTshuvo Din. Right, wait your turn. In the end, we'll catch up with you, we'll catch you Din. Vin Nashim, over here it's again that it means to lay waste to. But here, Nashim HaNofach, HaTshuvo Eish, She'en HaTzricha Nifuach. Until the fire that doesn't need to be bellowed comes about, meaning that it'll consume him, which is the Esh Shel Geinom, probably, Ad Medva, or Ad Shetaiv Nid Meshmatan, until their Neshamot are found in the De'avon, right, in the, the depths of distraughtness, but the idea that they will be consumed, La'atid Avo, meaning that their time will come where they will be punished, V'amrilah Ad'avid my Deboi, or until Kodesh Baruch Hu does what he needs to do, meaning that he uses up all their skuyot in this world by having them get their skar here, then they'll meet their end in the latid avu. Alright, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, kol ha'poreish midivrei Torah yesh ochuto. Anybody who separates from divrei Torah is consumed by fire, shenemar. V'natati, this is from Yechezkel, it's actually talking about Yoshvei Yerushalayim. Talking about Yoshvei Yerushalayim, natati et vanai bahem, ma'esh yatzau. They escaped the fire, va'esh tochlein, but nevertheless in the end they'll be consumed by fire. They escaped the fire in the time of Sancheriv. Right, the time of Sancheriv, where he came and laid siege to the city, and then Hashem fought the battle for them. Chizkiyahu does tshuva, and Sancheriv and his army run away. So it says, Eish yatzu, now Eish tochlein. But now, you won't escape. This time, you will be consumed in the fire. So here, the Gemara is saying this, that it's really talking about Divrei Torah. Meish yatzu, right, that they went out of the fire, Eish tochlein. But in the end, they left the Eish, which is the Eish of Torah. And therefore, in the end, Eish tochlein, that at the end, they will be consumed by fire. Person who wanders off the way of those that are right, intellectually honest, right? He'll be amongst those of the dead. He'll rest amongst the dead. Right? And Rifaim refers to Geinom. They didn't know that they were dead there. It's talking about a woman who's seducing someone to come to her, and he doesn't realize that her seduction is that she's really sitting in the right amongst the dead, and the imke shol kiraua. She's calling him and encouraging him to come to the valley of death or the valley of destruction. All right, now Gemara continues. So Gemara talks about the fact that when you sell the ashpa, you also sell the zevel. Now, the question about selling the ashpa is the zevel present at the time or not? The Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah from Me'ilah. The Mishnah Me'ilah is going to discuss this exact factor about what happens when the zevel appears after the fact. So Tanatam, Kolaroy the Mizbeach, Velo Levedek Gabayit, Levedek Gabayit, Velo Mizbeach, Velo Mizbeach, Velo Levedek Gabayit. When you make something Kodesh, you have the opportunity, right, to make things Kodesh in different ways. Kodesh the Mizbeach is an animal or something that is available to go on the Mizbeach. That item, if you're Makdish it, is Makdish Kedushat Aguf. There's another kadosh or kedusha, which is the next level down, which is kedushat bet hakabayit, something that can be used for the mikdash itself or in the renovations of the mikdash. For instance, water, cement, stones, right, wood. Those are things that are used in the mikdash, right, and therefore can be called kedushat bet hakabayit. There's a third level of kedusha, which is kedushat damim, right, which is just the value of the object. It's clear that they can't be used in the mikdash. For instance, behemah tmeah. Items that are totally right unnecessary for the mikdash. Nevertheless, when you're makdish them for damim. So all of these items here, where he's makdish them, again, if he's makdish something, roll them his back, but he did it to give it to the mikdash, and not kedusha mizbeach, he's over an asay, he violates a iser min haTorah to do that, but it still works, and it becomes kodesh. So in all of these cases, if he's makdish these items, malim behem, ubameshet tochan. If he's mo'el in them, and what is in them? What is the example? It's ketzat. Hikdish bor mlei amayim. Right? He's makdish a bor that's full of water. Right? Ashpot mleiot zevel. Or dumps or compost full of dung. Shovach mlei yonim. Or a dovecote full of doves. Sadeh mlei asavim. Or a field full of esev or of grasses or some sort of growth. Ilan nasui perot. Or a tree full of fruits. Malim behen umashav tochan. So each of the instances, you have bor melei amayim. That mayim is not useful for mizbeach because you can't use it for nisach hamayim, but you can't use it for also hadacha of the karbanot because they use that for the matam mayim b'migdash. So you could use it. So it's not useful for mizbeach, but it's useful for bedek habayit because they could use it for building in the bedek habayit. Zevel is obviously not useful either way. That's only kedushat damim. Melo yonim could be kedushat mizbeach because the yonah could be brought on the mizbeach. Asavim are not good for either, right? Not bedek habayit, not for mizbeach, so that's kedushat damim. Perot, right, also.
Asavim for the ash, for the fire.
No, it has to be wood, it has to be a dried out wood that you use for that. Right, and perot is also not for mizbeach, not for bedek habayit, unless obviously that it's bikurim or something that's there. So then all these items, so the Mishnah is writing something lozu abzu type of object, right? Lozu abzu, which is not only is something that's kodosh kedushat mizbeach, or could have been kedushat mizbeach, not only something that is kedushat perek abayit, or not only something that's kedushat damim, in all these instances, right, that which you're magdish, the core item, the primary item, then they are drawn along and they become kadosh as well. It's aval hikdish bor v'achar kach nitmale mayim. What happens if he first of all is makdish the cistern, and then the water only comes into the cistern after the fact? That's an important factor here, which is that the hekdish does not have the ability to acquire through chatzer, kinyan chatzer. As opposed to a hedjot, where your chatzer can be koneh on your behalf. So therefore, if you own a boar, and then mayim comes into your boar, right, your chatzer is koneh on your behalf, and the water becomes yours through that possession. What you can't do is be koneh, right? A chatzer, because as over here, Tosfos points out, is chatzer mishum yad itrabit. That has a chatzer, that we've seen in other gemaras, machlokas, how chatzer works exactly, is a mishum shlichus, a mishum yad. But over here, the Tosfos is assuming that it's Mishum Yad, it's Rabbe, and the Hekdesh doesn't have a Yad. We don't find anywhere that Hekdesh has a concept called Yad, an extension of its ability to acquire. And therefore, just because the boar is Hekdesh, doesn't mean automatically if the Mayim comes into it, it's going to be Hekdesh as well.
It's obvious that it's not. Also,
okay, so that's going to be the Gemara's Machlokas, exactly. All right, whether that's true, whether this is Shalom Balalam, and whether Shalom Balalam is...
You're Magdish something now, you don't even know what will come in the future.
All right, very good, excellent. It's going to be that's the Gemara's going to get exactly to your position, or your question. Ashpa, v'achar kach nitmala zevel, right, you have a dump or compost that eventually has dung afterwards, shovech, v'achar kach nitmala yonim, Ilan v'chafna sa perot, again, a dove coat that then it later has doves in it, a tree that later has perot, sadeh v'chakach nitmala asavim, you have a field that afterwards is filled with right? Grass or some sort of plant. Malim behen, vein malim beshutochan, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. I think divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Tosfos, was not found in the Girsa in the Mishnayot. It's not clear others had the Girsa of divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Alright, but it's not found in Mishnayot. But what do you see here? Like David was suggesting, you're Moel in the primary item, but not in the secondary item. Now, if you're Moel, how are you Moel in a boar? Right? So, how do you use a boar? So, the Rashbam suggests over here that you use a boar to store things in. For instance, you put items into the boar. Rashbam believes that you can be Moel by Mechuber the Karka. That you are able to have Me'ila Mechuber the Karka, even though by Mechuber the Karka, you don't have to be Nivgam in it. If you're Nene Beshove Pruta, then it's classified as Me'ila. Tosus disagrees, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, he says you cannot be Moel by Mechuber the Karka. And therefore, over here, he says the only way you can be Moel in the boar is if he actually lifts off one of the chuliot. He takes off one of the levels, meaning that he takes off, there's a pile or a rim around it, and he actually takes like a set of bricks or something away from this built-out cistern. That's it.
Can't be Moel in the house?
Right, so that's the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam over here suggests that you can't be Moel be Mechubar the Karka, which is an interesting, right, problem, because the Gemara says about a beam, if he puts on a beam, by Takana Shavim over there. If he puts in a beam as a, to put it over the skylight, and afterwards then he's Moel, if he sits under it for a Shavit Pruta. But maybe over there, the Gemara says it wasn't affixed, necessarily affixed. They didn't nail it in yet. So I don't know how to explain it. But the Rabbeinu Tam brings proofs, so is the Rashbam, whether Mechuber the Karka is or not, you can be Moel in it. All right, Rabbi Yossi Omer, HaMagdish et HaSadeh ve'et HaIlan Moalim Behen. So Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says that if you're Magdisha Seder or Yilan, you are Moel Behem, Ubi Gidulehen, and they're outgrowths. Mipnei She Gidulei Hekdesh, because they're growing out of Hekdesh. Right, so you can clearly see a difference over here. It's going to be the subject of the Gemara when you're talking about a tree. Right, and when you're talking about a Seder, the items that are growing out of it are either, you could say, are unique, or a direct derivative of the item that is Nikdash, as opposed to a boar that's full of water, right? Or a ashpad that's full of zevel, where the other item is independent, right? Right? They don't grow out of there. They have to be brought as independent items. Over here, these items are direct derivatives of the item that is hekdesh. So, Tanya, Amar Rabbi, Nirin Div Rabbi Yehuda Bebor Bishovach, right? So Rabbi says, I think Rabbi Yehuda's position is right by a boar in Shovach. V'div Rabbi Yosef B'stei V'ilan. And I think Rabbi Yossi is right about a Sadeh V'ilan. So, hi, Mike. What's Rabbi talking about here? Bishlamon nirim de Rabbi Yehuda bebor v'shovach. You can say the fact that when he says, oh, Rabbi Yehuda agrees, or the words of Rabbi Yehuda make sense by bor v'shovach m'klal de polig Sadeh V'ilan. It means that he argues in Rabbi Yossi and he says, all items are not included. I mean that when you're makdish these items and later the item appears, they're not included. So, fine. That we know is true because Rabbi Yehuda explicitly says that all four items, when you makdish them, right, the derivative item or the secondary item does not come along with them when it happens later. Elanirin devri Rabbi Yossi, the fact that he says that Rabbi Yossi makes sense by Sadeh v'ilan, b'chlal d'polik b'bor v'shovach. That implies that Rabbi Yossi would disagree even by bor v'shovach. As we just stated, that doesn't make so much sense. We understand why we could explain Rabbi Yossi's position, right, to be simply only by Sadeh and only by ilan. So he says, v'ha Rabbi Yossi Sadeh v'ilan kamar. All Rabbi Yossi explained was Sadeh v'ilan. It doesn't say that he argues in Rabbi Yehuda by bor and shovach. We don't know that. If you say, no, Rabbi Yossi really believes and argues on all four. But he says, you, Rabbi Yehuda, who say that the derivative secondary item is not included in Hekdesh, you should at least agree to me by a Sadeh and Ilan that those should be Kadosh because they are Gidulei, right, or derivatives of, direct derivatives of those items. So he's saying, according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, you should agree with me. But my personal position is that all four items, the secondary item comes along with it. And we'll see a position like that later on. Rabbi Blazer, Rabbi Shimon, who says that. Batanya, but that doesn't work. Why? Because if a Brisa explicitly says, I don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda in these two items. Meaning here is explicit saying that this is not the position of Rabbi Yehuda. He's not saying the divrei Rabbi Yehuda. He's saying this is my position. My position is that I don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Sadeh v'ilan. But it sounds like from that he does agree by shovach and by bor. If that's the case, why does Rabbi have to say near in divrei Rabbi Yossi by Sadeh v'ilan? Anyway, you could just say halacha ki Rabbi Yossi. If he says halacha like Rabbi Yossi, then he gets exactly what he wants. He gets bor and shovach to be no, and he gets Sadeh v'ilan to be yes. So why wouldn't he just simply say that? Where it says hachi kamar nirin divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yossi bebor b'shovach. That's how we explain Rabbi. Rabbi saying Rabbi Yossi, he's saying exactly what we find in the other brisa, which is that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Borvish Ovach. Sha'af Rabbi Yossi nolech lachalav el b'sadeh v'ilan. He only disagrees with him when it comes to sadeh v'ilan. Avar b'Borvish Ovach modelei. But by Borvish Ovach, he does agree to him. And again, we spoke about the logic in Rabbi Yossi. Why would there be a difference between ilan and sadeh versus bor and shovach or ashpa? All right, Tan Rabbanan. So now the next problem. Ekdishan Reikanin. It was makdish them empty, and afterwards they were filled. All of our cases that we've said so far. Malin behen ve'in malin b'shul mash b'tolchan. You can be mol on them, and now what's in them? Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer af malin b'shul tolchan. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon makes a generic statement that everything that's in them also goes along. So I'm a rabba. Rabba qualifies the statement and says b'sod v'ilan. So what did Rabba just do? Rabba just made Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon into Rabbi Yossi. He says, right, that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon only disagrees when it comes to Sadeh V'ilan. He's qualifying the machlokas here in the Brice and saying that the Brice is only discussing Sadeh V'ilan. And that's where Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon disagrees. That means Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is identical to the position of Rabbi Yossi. The Tana Kama Sovralaki Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Sovralaki Rabbi Yossi. Tana Kama is like Rabbi Yehuda, that all four items, everything comes along with it. Everything does not come along with it. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, I was like, we'll see that by Stevi Ilan it does come along, the others it doesn't. So now we have Rabbi Yossi, Aval Bor V'Shovach. I'm sorry, where I skipped. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Savalak Rabbi Yossi, Aval Bor V'Shovach, Devi Yakol Malin Ben Ben Malin Besh V'Tochan. Everybody agrees by Bor V'Shovach that it's not included with the Hekdesh of the primary item. So I'm really Abaye. So Abaye was a Talmud, right? A Talmud of Rabbah. Disagrees with him. Elahad Tanya. What are you going to do with the second half of this brisa? The second half of the brisa says, "Ikdisham milayin." If you makdish them full, malayin behen uvameshul tochan. Right then, you are makdish them and what's in them. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon machlif and says, "No, that nothing's included. When you makdish the primary item and they're full, you're not makdish them." So ve'iamart. If you say bish basadeh v'ilan, am I machlif? If you simply say that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's position is by Sadeh V'ilan, you cannot explain this whole concept of flipping the puzzle. If you say it's Bor and Shovach, how do you explain it? It's very complicated. That's what the Gemara is going to do right now. But what happens? If you say that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon argues on everything, that means that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon believes when the item is empty and later on gets filled, right, then it goes along with it. Everything is Mukdash. So if you have an empty item and then the secondary, the derivative item comes, whether it's Sadeh V'ilan or Bor V'Shovach, it's Nikdash. On the other hand, if you're makdish it when it's full, when it already has peyrot, when it already has water in it, when it already has doves in it, they're not included. It almost seems counterintuitive. And that's what Gemara is going to explain now. So Elam Rabba. So Rabba acquiesced or agreed to Abaye's ha'ara, and then Rabba changed his position. Elam Rabba machloket bebor v'shovach. Machloket here is about bor v'shovach. Aval b'stev ilan divrei akol malin ba'en u'mesh metochan. So basically, the Tana Kama now becomes Rabbi Yossi. Right, because he agrees by Sadeh V'ilan that it is included, whereas by Bor V'Shovach it's not included. And then Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon becomes a third Tana, a third position here where everything, right, is included. No matter what you were Makdish up front, whatever comes later is then Nikdash. Ubebor V'Shovach Bereikanin b'may plige, ubemleim my plige. Alright, so what, Bevor V'Shovach, when they are empty, meaning that they're not, the item is not, the derivative item is not there yet, what are they arguing about? Ubemleim, when they are full, my plige, what are they arguing about? So this is, the Gemara is going to go through their machlokas. Bereikanim, when you makdish the primary item and they are empty at that time and later on the item comes into it, plige beplugta, the Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Rabbanon. This is you, right, David, what you suggested. They're arguing the machlokas, the Rabbi Meir, Rabbanon. What? The Tanakama Savalaki Rabbanon. Tanakama Ozak Rabbanon, the Amri, and Adam Makneh, Davar Shalom, Belerulam. Person can't be makdish, something doesn't exist yet. You can't be makneh, you can't give over possession of something that you don't own yet, or it's not there yet. So because of that, you can't be makdish it. Over here, you're makdish the boar, you own it, you exist now, you can do that. The mayim that comes into the boar afterwards, right, you can't be makdish, because that wasn't yours, it wasn't in your possession, and it's not there yet. So if it's not there yet, you can't be makdish davar shelo bali olam. You can't be makneh davar shelo bali olam. And then Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savar ki Rabbi Meir. He holds like Rabbi Meir, Damar. So this answers your question, how are you makdish something in the future? Because he holds, Adam makneh davar shelo bali olam, that you could be makdish davar shelo bali olam. So over here, when you have a boar that's empty, right? Nevertheless, because when you include the boar, you include anything that will come in the future. So the water that comes in the future, that will be included in your hekdesh of davar shelo ba'li'olam, because you are able to be makdish davar shelo ba'li'olam. So Mara says, this is the famous qualification, which is imur d'shmaylei the Rabbi Meir. We know that Rabbi Meir says that adam makneh davar shelo ba'li'olam only applies to compare a dekel davididatu. That only applies when something will happen, right? It was like a necessary outcome or a automatic outcome of Adam. Trees bear fruit. So therefore, even though the fruit are not present, we know that trees will bear fruit in the future. And then, right, it's an expected outcome. And therefore, we would consider it to be Nukdash or Daver Makneh, even though it's Davash Lo Bali Olam. But when we're talking about Hane, Miyamir Adatu, over here, who says that a boar is going to have mayim in it in the end? Who says, right, that a shovach will have doves in the end? There's no guarantee such an item will happen or such a thing will happen. So therefore, you can't be, but Meir won't agree in that instance that Daver Makneh, Adam Makneh, Davash Lo Bali Olam, or Adam Makdish, Davash Lo Bali Olam. Where it says, Amar Rava, Mishkachala b'mayim abayim derech chatzirel. It's water that comes through his chatzir, the boar, v'yonim abayim derech shovchol shovach. Or yonim that come through his shovach into the shovach that's alongside of it.
So,
what is, right, so the question is, what's the answer? Alright, what is the answer of the Gemara over here? What is the Gemara saying? So here you have a machlok, a series of ishonim here that disagree or discuss what the issue is. So the, first of all, the Rashbam points out that Rav Meir never qualifies his statement of Adam Dabar Maknet Dabar Shavu Leolam. Said that the Gemara, right, in Yevamot says that Rav Meir and a number of people followed his shita all the way down to Rav Huna. And then Rav Huna over there says, I'm talking about a dekel. So therefore, the Gemara concludes from that it's a dekel, maybe the day Perot. That's the first one. It's not Rav Meir explicitly, but with people who have the derivative shita of Rav Meir who say that it's only a dekel. Rashbam over here suggests that what's the solution over here, Habayim Der Chatzero, that the boar is down in a midron, that it's down at the his in its chatzer, but it's at a right on some sort of decline inside of his chatzer, and therefore every rain, all rain that would come into the chatzer would flow down to that boar. So then it's obvious there. Otherwise, what would you say? The person has to hand fill the boar, right? A cistern either has to rain, which who knows what, right? It's the middle of the summer. Who knows when it's going to happen? And number two, or you have to go and do it physically, pour the water in. So says, no, it's a case where there's a midron in the chatzer, so that any water that ends up in the chatzer will end up in his boar. By definition, will end up in the boar. That's the way the Ashram learns it. And by shovach, is that he has a shovach where he has a, his own shovach is next to it. And therefore, he knows that by definition, the birds that grew up in his shovach will make it over to the other shovach. Whereas if it's someone else's shovach, the other one, other person can prevent the doves from reaching in there, and therefore you won't have that guarantee. It's only because by his shovach, where he won't prevent it, that they will actually end up over there. So now, that's the position of the Rashbam about what happens over here. So now the Tosos asks, this is a large Tosos over here, he says, Tema. Meichash ma'inin the Rabbi Meir, Damar, Adam makne davashu b'lalam, ha'ino meditana omer li sha'ari at mekudeshet li l'achar she'es techarer. Where do we know that, where's Rabbi Meir's position from? It's from the Mishnah in Kiddushin. That a person who says, I will marry you after I am freed. I will marry you after I convert. So that's the case where Rabbi Meir says, the Chum say, eno nitkadesh. Whereas what? Rabbi Meir says, nitkadesha, that is married. Well, now, tell me, what is that davarsh? Right, when you say that, is that peiro deko da'ati davide? Who says? First of all, it's not in your control. It's not in your control that eshtachrer, that I'll be freed. Who says you're ever going to be freed, that you can get married? Who says the Adon's going to free you? How do you know this is davar that's going to be, in the end, something after the levo? If that's his source of Rabbi Meir, how could you say that Rabbi Meir is bound by this fact that it has to be something that is, right, ati, avida di atu? That's something that's going to happen. So the Rashbam over here asks the same question, answers. You know how the Rashbam answers it? It's a case where his Adon told him he's going to free him. Or told him already that he's going to free him. That's right, it's a case. Right, exactly. It's a case where it's, that's what the Rashbam is doing, is creating the same case where it's already in process. So since it's in process, we assume that that's going to go through. Or since the way the situation is developed, we assume that it's going to happen. That's the Rashbam's answer of how to deal with this. But over here, but the others, we have here a list of Balei HaTosfot that try to answer the problem. So the first one is the Rivan. The Rivan suggests that Kohanu David Atu Kogon Chetzio Eved Chetzio Ben Chorin. Shivcha, Chetzia, Shivcha, Chetzia Bat Chorin. He explains all the cases, he creates the case to be a case where it must, not just that there's someone else guaranteeing it, but it must. A case where we have the, where a person is a Chetzi Eved and a Chetzi Ben Chorin, we know by Ikmei Halacha, the other Adon is going to be forced to free him. So not only is he said he's going to free him, here it's where there's an halachic imperative to free him. And same thing with the chatzi shivcha, chatzi bat chorin, where she's a nitan lehefker kvar, where she's not gu minhag hefker, there we also, chachamim are going to force him. So there's a guarantee. We know for certain that there's going to be an imposition, a halachic imposition to free her. What about the case of Lachar yishimot balech vachotech. In a case where he says, after your husband dies, or after your sister dies, I'll marry you. So what are you going to say over there? So he says, the case is gosusin. Right? They're gosusin. They're on their deathbed. And rov gosusin lemita. So it's a case where they're ready, it's like gone. What about sheyachlotzla yivamech? What about chalitza? He says, well, it's a case because today, mitzvah chalitza, kodem the mitzvah yibum, or a case where the woman who he's married to only has chalitza, no yibum. It's a case where she can only do chalitza. So he knows for certain that there's going to be chalitza here. So that's how he goes through. And then the last, so all these cases he has to go through and come up with a case where it's already already close to that, the close to a situation where it's almost guaranteed that the action will happen. That's almost a derivative of the Rashbam, but a step further. It's not simply that someone else is guaranteeing it, but there's some sort of halachic imperative or some reason to believe that this will automatically happen. Now, he brings a second Bali Tosfot that says, his name is Rabbi, I haven't heard of him before, Rabbi Eliezer Me Palira. Right? So it's Rabbi Eliezer Me Palira says that anything shaguf bi'olam, that is, anything there, the goof itself, which is items like, for instance, a woman who says that she's makdish her yadayim, the olam. She's makdish her yadayim. So over there we have this gemara in Ksubos, that a person can't make makdish her yadayim because her yadayim don't belong to her. So what is she really saying? She's saying masay yadai. Right, so in there, when she says Maseya die, so all these cases he's saying are a case where goof bolam, the hands exist, and you cannot be makne your hands, the hekdesh, therefore, it's kamo avida da'atu, because hands are going to produce. So that's classified as avida da'atu. All these cases he classifies avida da'atu. So the Tabali Tosas has a couple of questions on that, and doesn't like that explanation, and he finally comes to the Ri. And the Ri's answer is a very interesting answer. The Ri says, it depends how many steps are in between. How many mi yemars are in between? So he says, if it's one if, then it's avida datu. If there are two ifs involved, then it's no avida datu. So over here, there's only two options by a tree. A tree either produces fruit or does not produce fruit. So mi yemar, who say there will be fruit? All right, so that's one mi yemar, that's it. If you say there are multiple miyemars, meaning that not only here, like she'eshta chrer, right? So something over there that the who says over there? There's one if, which is will the adon free or not miyemar. So that one if we say that Abba Meir says that's fine. All right. So now Arkis.
Who said the adon is going to get up that day? And he gets up that day.
No, but there's only one problem. The one problem is that the adon going to free her and not free her, or free him or free him. That's only one question at hand. Ah. So now what about our case over here, right? So what's the miyamar over here? So the miyamar refers back to what the Tesla said before, which is that hekdesh doesn't have the ability to be makdish something that comes into its possession automatically. So that's what the, if you read here at the bottom of the Tosfos, you can see it inside, but the Tosfos, it's the, when, once the Tosfos reads, the widest.
But if it's, will there be water in the pit?
So that's what you think, right, is the only if over here, but that's not necessarily the case. Why? Because even if there's water in the pit, it's not Kadosh. Because even if there's water in the pit, Hekdesh does not have the ability to be Makdish something in the Chatzer. Chatzero is not Kuna on its behalf. So just because the water be in the pit doesn't mean that it will take possession of it. And number two is, it's not in your possession. So you have two problems. The water is now in the pit. Hekdesh doesn't take possession of it because Hekdesh can't be Kone al Yidei Yad through Chatzer. And you can't be Makdish because it's not in your property. It's in the board of Hekdesh. So it's not yours to be Makdish. So the Ri says the failure over here is not a failure of necessarily, right? It's Davar Shelo Bal Le'olam, but the failure is a lack of ownership in order to be Makdish. So that's the problem over here. So what's the solution of the Gemara? The water goes through your property. The Yone Shovach go through your Shovach first and then into the Shovach there. Therefore, you have a right to be Magdishit because it was first in your property, and being in your property gives you enough ownership to Magdishit, even though it's Dabar Shabbat Alam. Right, the one if is what? Right, if it's going to end up in the Bor of Ekdish. So that's it. If you read the last, it's the widest lines in Tosvot. There's only one miyam over here. Who says it'll come into your possession before it ends up in Hekdesh's possession? Maybe it can never end up in possession. Why should it be moel? You have no ability to be makdish them. Umishani, what's the answer? They go into your property, you're zochen them first. Because there's only one, right? The only if is now whether they're going to come into your property or not. Rashi Perish. All right. is another answer, which is the I avidid atu necha the matzak teishan the matzon afresh kugon shig teish bor v'shovach al manat sheish po koach v'bor v'shovach l'skod b'mayim b'yonim l'tzorach hakdesh. He leaves over the ability when he's makdish the bor. He says, "Ain that comes into the, I still own enough of the bor that if something comes into it, I can be makdish it." He leaves himself residual ownership in the bor, residual ownership in the shovach, in order to give him the ability to be makdish it. That's the fourth possibility. It's a very interesting idea or concept. I mean, how do you determine when something is miyemar, right? How does something become avidid atu versus more steps away where it's not miyavidid atu, right? So that's a very, all these Mishonim are trying to explain the differences in the Gemara about when do we say it's one step away and when do we say it's multiple steps away, or when do we say it is, even though it's davar shlo bali olam, adam is makneh versus a place where he's not makneh. You see all these explanations based on our Gemara. So Amar Rava, we just said, Rava explained that the case here is Mishkach Lei B'mayim Abim Derech Hatzirel Labor V'yonim Shabayim Derech Shavchol Shovach. Either according to the Rashbam is a case where it's coming through your property, so therefore, right, it's, we assume that it's going to happen, right, that it is almost one step away. And the Re explains it as being, we need, the problem here is a question of ownership, the ability to be Makdish over here. And that's what's failure. The failure is the Makdish, and therefore the Gemara changes into a case where it comes through your property first, which gives you enough balus to be Makdish it before it ends up inside of the Bor Hekdesh. Right? Umalayim my pligates. This is a harder case. What do they argue about when it's full? If you're Makdish the primary item, and there's already water in there, or the Shovach, and there's already Yonim inside of it, why aren't you Makdish according to Rabbi Elazar Bishino? So Amarova, Kagon Shikdish Bor Stam. He's Makdish the Bor itself. Verabi Elazar, Verabi Shimon, Sovelo Keavua. He holds like his father. What does his father say? Remember what we had in his father before? That Rabbi Shimon Omer, that Adam is Makdish be'ayin ra'ah. Damar danim dim gvah midin ejot. That was a machlok as we saw in the previous Mishnah, at the end of the previous Mishnah, where we had the a Mishnah concluded when you're Makdish, the Sadeh, what's included with the Sadeh that you're Makdish. So over there we said the only thing that Rabbi Shimon says is included when you makdish the sadeh at the end of Amocher Tabayit was that the ilanim, right, the charuva murkav, and the these very, very special items. Why? Because of the yonik. They're yonik from the sadeh. Since they're yonik from the sadeh, they go along with hekdesh. But anything else would not be included in hekdesh. Where does Rabbi Shimon learn his opinion from? What's Rabbi Shimon, the basis of Rabbi Shimon's opinion? That's why he was questioning the Rabbanan and others. He says that it should be no better than a hejot. So just like a hejot, when he sells, he sends be'ayin ra'ah. Therefore, a makdish is also makdish be'ayin ra'ah. The Chachamim disagreed, if you remember. The Chachamim said no, that a mocher is mocher be'ayin ra'ah, but a makdish is like a giver of a matana, and he's makdish be'ayin yafa. Right? That was the Amayan Yafet. That's what the Chachamim say. Yet on the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says no. I think that hekdesh and hejot and mecher are exactly alike. And therefore, since when you sell something, you do it ba'ayin ra'ah, when you makdish, you're also makdish ba'ayin ra'ah. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon is in the shita of his father, that when you're makdish ba'ayin ra'ah. So that's over here too.
All right,
very good. So the Rashbam asked you a question, and I'll explain it in a second. So ma'idion etzet matzi amar bira zvinalach, ma'idlo zvinalach. Just like when a hejot can say that if I sold you a boar, I didn't sell you the water in it, abdin gvoah. So do by makdish, bora akdish, ma'ilo akdish. I've sold you, I was makdish the boar, I was not makdish the water inside. The Gemara says, v'din hejot lo? What do you mean? A hejot, the water doesn't go, it's a mishnah of atnan. Our mishnah says, machar boar, machar me'mav. You sell the boar, the water goes with it. So Amar Rava Masnisan Yechidoi. Our Mishnah is a Das Yochid. The Tanya of a Brisa, Machar Bor, Lo Machar Memav. You sell the Bor, the water doesn't go with it. Rabbi Natan Omer, Machar Bor, Machar Memav. So you see that Rabbi Natan is a Das Yochid, and he's the author of our Mishnah. And therefore, over here, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon does not agree with Rabbi Natan, because that's a Das Yochid, and he doesn't hold like him. So now there are two important Rashbams. One is to answer the question of Tzvi. Tzvi says, wait a minute. Now you have this crazy situation. If I'm makdish something and it exists, I do it ba'ayin ra'ah, and it's not included. Yet, if it's not there yet, it's davar shelo bali olam, and yet it's still included in the hekdesh, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. What happened to ayin ra'ah over here? So the Rashbam explains, the Rashbam says, it's very interesting, he says, that, b'davar shelo zachabo, an item that you're not yet taking possession of, adayin lech lamer ayin ra'ah. You can't say an ayin ra'ah about something that's not present yet. So the ayin ra'ah is only about what's in front of you. You make a decision about what's in front of you, you only give certain amounts, you're giving the least amount. That's only true of the items that are extant at the time of the sale. Yes, but something that has with the future, right? That is not included in the sale. There's no, right? There's no havamina that you will say ayin ra'ah about davar shelo ba'olam because it's not in your possession yet. Ayin ra'ah is all about what's in your possession. What's not in your possession, you don't have an ayin ra'ah about. Ayin ra'ah is I own something, I'm not willing to give up ownership. If you're going to say davar shelo ba'olam, it's not yours yet. We know that. The question is, can you be makneh davar shelo ba'olam? Rabbi Meir says yes. But that doesn't mean that it's yours yet. And that we saw from the rear already, right? It's not in your possession yet to do anything with it. It's not in your possession. Ayin Ra does not apply to it. So you'll come out with this convoluted logic, which is that if it's already in your possession, you're going to be Makdishet B'Ayin Ra. If it's not in your possession, it's not yours. So what do you care about Ayin Ra? Ayin Ra doesn't exist. It's not yours. So if it's not yours, you're Makdish, and you're Makdish even Davar Shelo Ba'Li Olam. You're Makdish Davar Shelo Ba'Li Olam because, right, it's not there yet. It's not yours owned. So therefore you give it, and you give everything because there's nothing, you're not giving up anything of yourself to say Davar Ba'Li Olam. So that's the way the Rashbam answers your question about the Kal V'Chomer and differentiates between the two.
The Rabbanan here that disagree with Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, can argue on him on one of two points. They can either say that, first of all, that a person is Magdish B'An Yafeh, which we saw earlier, that the Rabbanan who disagree with Rabbi Shimon feel that Hekdesh has to do with Matano and not to do with Mecher. And there, even though they believe by Mecher that it's B'Ayin Ra'ah, that he is Mocher, nevertheless, when it comes to Makdish, is Makdish Ban Yafa, or they can just hold like Rabbi Natan, meaning in the Machlokas here about which Tano is correct, they can just say like our Mishnah, which is that the Rabbi Natan is correct, and that even a hedgeot who sells a boar, the Maim goes along with it. So therefore, certainly, when it comes to Hekdesh, if you sell the boar, the Maim goes along with it.
The other Rashbam is a very, very important Rashbam. It's the last Rashbam, and with this will end. It's the last Rashbam on the Amud here. Matnitan Yechidahi.
So Rabbi Natan come out. Rabbi Natan is a dat yachid in our Mishnah. Miu hilchasa kimatanitan. Nevertheless, the loch is like our Mishnah. Despite the fact that the Gemara just said that our Mishnah is Rabbi Natan is a dat yachid, nevertheless, the loch is like our Mishnah. Kedamar beviamot. The stam masnisan, umachloket bebraita, halocha kestam masnisan. Then when it comes to a Mishnah, stam Mishnah, and then you have a machlokas in the braita, we go after the stam Mishnah. So therefore, over here, so this, our Mishnah is a stam Mishnah. In the braita, we see that there's a machlokas about this, but nevertheless, we go like this. Even though the Gemara says this is a dat yachid, nevertheless, that's not indicating that the loch is not like this individual. It doesn't mean that we don't hold like him. It's just to explain to us where Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's position comes from. His position comes from the fact that he holds like the Rabban by the Rabbanon by the din of a hedyot. But there are times when the Gemara uses the term yechida, it's a halachic implications. When's that? When someone in Amora says something, he comes to Paskan Alocha, Heter, Oisur, Din, he gives some sort of Psak Alocha. Then the Gemara challenges his Psak Alocha from Mishnah, and the Gemara's answer, Mishana Yechidoi. The Gemara says that the Mishnah that we're questioning from, or the Brace, or the Tanaic work that we're questioning him from, is a Dat Yechid. In that case, Los Virlan, Kihai Mishnah, then when we make such an indication or such an answer for an Amora, that's an indication that we don't hold of that mission, we don't hold of that Tanaic work. Because the Amora, since the Amora is a Batra, the Amora is coming to give us a Psak Halacha, and if the Gemara then says about a Tanaic work that is Yechidoi, it's to uphold the position of the Amora. And it's as if the Amora says, it's as if the Amora explicitly said the Halacha is not like that Mishnah, because the fact that he is claiming it's Yechidah in order to preserve his position is an indication that it's not like the Halacha is not like the Mishnah. Over here, that's not the case. The Gemara is just explaining that our Mishnah is Yechidoi, it's not an indication of a Halacha Psak. It's not that the Gemara Sholel are saying that this Mishnah is irrelevant. All they're saying is that there's an alternative opinion, and that explains the position of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like the Rabbanan. Makes sense that he would hold like the Rabbanan, not like Rabbi Natan. His position is premised on the Rabbanan, so we can explain his position. He's a Tana, so we just wanted to know what exactly it was that he held. So when we pair him up with the Rabbanon, it makes sense what he held. But not necessarily when the Gemara says a chidoi, that does not mean that it is a psak halacha. It's very important in Rashbam. In the Gemara's terminology, when it uses the term chidah, what does it mean? Okay, we'll stop over here.